The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord. As I was sitting the other evening, I was imagining the scene in the first reading. First of all, concealed by a cloud, the Lord comes down and talks to Moses. Taking some of the spirit that was on Moses, it says, he bestowed it on the 70 elders. Moses' spirit rested on them, and they began to prophesy. It's a remarkable scene. I wondered if this was some revelation of hierarchy. Did the 70 have the Spirit only because it came through Moses? Next comes the answer. No. Eldad and Medad, two of the 72, were absent still at the camp, and they were not there to witness God in the cloud speaking to Moses. But the Spirit, obviously not limited by distance, rested on them too, and they began to prophesy. God's work was accomplished in them anyway. Somebody reports it, and Joshua demands that Moses make Eldad and Medad stop. Hear his very interesting response. Moses says, "Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord would bestow his spirit on them all." Exclusivity. We are all guilty of exclusivity. For centuries, we have not wanted to give the benefit of the doubt, even to Christians of other communities, let alone people of non-Christian faiths, that their prayers were authentic and that they might be on the same path as we, just at a different mile marker along the way. Once again, Pope Francis was misquoted by the media this week, even the Catholic media. His statement was not that all religions are the same. He said that God, however, has provided many paths for people to come to him. Who would God be if he only wanted to bestow his spirit on a few? He wouldn't be God for most people. So the bottom line is the question, can the power of the Spirit be confined to an institution? Of course not. Yet we know that he is the God of all creation, all peoples, and our human nature is wired to seek him. The same faith in the mystery of the divine has unfolded in many cultures. The beliefs might be different, maybe even seemingly contradictory or unsupported by our experience of revelation. But the seeking of the peoples is the same. The seeking is the same. An authentic desire of the human heart for the transcendent God. God does not refuse his spirit to anyone who sincerely seeks him. This was one of the revelations of Vatican II. Most of Vatican II is a reworking of teachings of the church that always existed in tradition. But just so that it makes more sense in the context of this modern age rather than medieval times. But this is a new area of theological reflection based in scripture and tradition. Listen to St. Pope Paul VI in his address opening the second convening of Vatican II in September of 1963. The Catholic Church looks into the distance beyond the confines of the Christian horizon. How could she place limits on her love if this very love is to be that of God the Father, who showers his favors on everyone? And who so loved the world that for it he gave his only Son, for the world, not just for a few? Look, therefore, beyond your own sphere and observe those other religions that uphold the meaning and the concept of God as one, creator, provident, most high, and transcendent, that worship God with acts of sincere piety and upon whose beliefs and practices the principles of moral and social life are founded. The Catholic Church unquestionably, and to its regret, perceives gaps, insufficiencies, and errors in many religious expressions as those indicated, yet she cannot fail to turn her thoughts to them as well, to remind them that the Catholic religion upholds in just regard all that which in them is true, good, and human. Moreover, in order to preserve religious sentiment and the worship of God in modern culture, the duty and need of a true civilization, she is in the forefront as the most valid supporter of the rights of God over humanity. From the Dogmatic Constitution on the Church, Lumen Gentium, 1964, we read, those who through no fault of their own do not know the gospel of Christ or his church, but who nevertheless seek God with a sincere heart and moved by grace try in their actions to do his will as they know it through the dictates of their conscience, those two may achieve eternal salvation. It seems like the media wasn't paying attention in 1964. Maybe 60 years is just a long time. Those two may achieve eternal salvation. Nor shall divine providence deny the assistance necessary for salvation to those who, without any fault of their own, have not yet arrived at an explicit knowledge of God, and for who, without grace, strive to lead a good life. Whatever good or truth is found among them is considered by the Church to be a preparation for the gospel and given by God, who enlightens all that they at length may have life. If I had been born into a Jewish family and had as rigorous a formation in Judaism as I had in the Catholic Church, I probably would be a rabbi today. And I would hope that would mean that I wouldn't be going to hell because of that, I think. From the personal translation of Paulist Father Tom Stransky, who just died last year, he was the last person who was on the commission that wrote Nostra Aetate, Vatican II. He was the final one. He had just been ordained when Vatican II started, and they grabbed him out of the crowd, and he became the assistant to one of the cardinals. So he was there for the whole thing. And I guess they wanted somebody young, so they put him on the commission. But this is his own personal translation of that document that he helped write. It is the declaration on the relation of the Church to non-Christian religions promulgated by Pope Paul VI in 1965. One expects from the various religions answers to the profound enigmas of the human condition, which today, even as of old, deeply stir human hearts. What is the human being? What is the meaning, the purpose of our life? What is moral good? What is sin? Why suffering, and what purpose does it serve? Which is the genuine way to happiness? What are death, judgment, and retribution after death? What finally is that ultimate and inexpressible mystery which encompasses our existence? Where do we come from, and where are we going? Already from ancient times down to the present, there is found among various peoples a certain perception of that mysterious power abiding in the course of nature and in the happenings of human life. At times, some indeed have come to the recognition of a supreme being or even a father. This perception and recognition penetrate their lives with a profound religious sense. However, religions that are intertwined with a developing culture have struggled to answer the same questions by means of more refined concepts and a more developed language. And he talks about Hinduism and Buddhism. The Catholic Church rejects nothing that is true and holy in these religions. She regards with sincere reverence those ways of acting and of living, those precepts and teachings which, though differing in many aspects from the one she holds and sets forth, nonetheless often reflect a ray of truth which enlightens all of us. The Church therefore exhorts her sons and daughters, that's us, to recognize, preserve, and foster the good things, spiritual and moral, as well as the social and cultural values found among the followers of other religions. This is done through conversation and collaboration with them, carried out with prudence and love, and in witness to our Christian faith and life. Those texts are just so compelling as far as I'm concerned, because the voices we hear so often in the church today would rather have us circle the wagons and just hold on to what we have and hold everybody else outside. And that is not what Jesus said in the gospel today. Remember when they said, oh, these people over here, they don't belong to our group. They're not part of our institution. We have to stop them. Joshua said it to Moses too. And Jesus said, no, if they're not against us, they're for us. Nobody who can do marvelous deeds in my name can be an enemy of what we're trying to do here. Let's share the work. Because an institution cannot control the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God will accomplish his plan for all of us in the world.